Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghosts. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Christmas has come early this year.
Has it?
The Taylor Swift movie is now in the theater.
Okay.
And I have already seen it a couple of times.
You've been multiple times?
Yes, I have.
I love that. Did you take Ryan?
I did. And I took Sarah. Or Sarah took me.
Yeah, I went.
You didn't like it?
No, I loved it.
I was eyeing your popcorn tin.
Now, the thing is that I, instead of being satisfied about, you know, concerts, going to concerts, I only want to go to more.
Mm-hmm. It was like just as amazing, but it's pretty good.
It made me more itchy.
I heard they took Long Live out, though.
But they put it in the credits at the end.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I called that.
How have we not talked about Kelce and T-Swift?
That's where I was going with this.
Yes.
It's also
everybody
early because
in Kansas City is looking.
At least at the time of this recording, they're definitely an item.
Yes. She's been going to the Chiefs games. Everybody is looking at Kansas City like, who's this Travis Kelce? And I've been telling people, I'm like, look, people here in Kansas City, we love Kelce and we love Mahomes.
And we love Taylor Swift.
We were here first.
Yes, we have known about Kelce forever.
We already love Taylor. Now we combine our one love with our other love, and now it's ultimate love.
I just think it's hilarious how people are like all of a sudden paying attention to Kelce and the Chiefs. And even my husband was like, how do people not know who Kelce is? He is the best tight end of possibly all NFL history. I'm like,
there are these really funny TikToks going on. There's a trend where like the wife will be like, I'm so happy that Taylor Swift put Travis on the map.
Yes.
And it's just like infuriating.
Yes, all the
they're
men
doing
are
it
like,
on purpose.
It like, makes me mad.
I know. No. That's the whole point. It's because, to like, make them mad. And they're like, what?
Like, he has national commercials. How do people not know who him and Mahomes are?
Mahomes and Ma'ato? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Or even like him with the past Super Bowl with his brother. Like the Kelce brothers were all over the internet.
They have a documentary.
It's adorable.
For many reasons. I feel like, you know, she doesn't know this, but she's obviously a family member or best friend or both. And she could be in our group easily. And it's like watching your friend and being like, hey, you're doing so good. I'm so happy for you.
I know. I saw her with Brittany Mahomes at the last game. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Brittany Mahomes is probably like in heaven.
You know, I would be.
Yes.
I love that for them. Anyways, yes. Ryan told me yesterday, Mom, did you know that she bought a house in, what's that little lake area that Mahomes lives in?
Loch Lloyd.
Did she really? Is that a rumor?
TBD. She heard from a friend of a friend.
Okay. I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, anyways. Okay.
But of course, I said I'll believe it when I see it when there was rumors of them dating. And then she's coming to the Chiefs games. And I'm like, what is she doing?
And then there's videos of them holding hands.
And him opening the door for her.
Adorable.
We love Kelce. We love Taylor Swift.
We love a gentleman. Okay. Anyways, I'm going to change gears and tell you guys about my smorgasbord story.
Smorgy.
Thank you. It's been a while since we got to hear that. And so not to throw a wrench in things, but mine is an unsolved story. And you know how I typically feel.
I love it.
I hate this.
But you did you did DB Coops, these nuts.
What is wrong with me?
And apparently that was a big unsolved.
I like unsolved stories, but I don't.
I've converted you. Yay.
I'm not comfortable with it.
I hate you both.
That is hurtful.
I love it. I like to exercise my brain and think about what could have happened.
You know what? I took a personality test.
I'm offended you didn't send it to the rest of the class to take.
We could have been prepared. The results of your personality test are in. She took a Myers-Briggs.
Okay.
We are the same personality. She's an INFJ, just like me.
Slash
I am not that.
T.
You are more introverted than me because I'm closer to the extroverted side. She's 84% introverted. I think I'm like 30.
Are we shocked?
Yeah. I'm like in the 30%. Intuitive, you're 58%. Feeling, you're 56%. And judging, you are 72%.
Do you feel like this is accurate?
Oh, yeah. Everything I read about, I was like, yep, that is accurate. Mm-hmm. And so I got to the link because it says like, oh, the INFJ is the rarest personality type.
It
and
is.
I was like, oh, well, Lindsay's that. I wonder what I am. Turns out I am also rare.
You too.
And here is a fun fact. One of my college roommates and best friends is also an INFJ. So it's the rarest personality type, but two of my best friends are the same personality as me.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Mine is INFP, in case anybody wanted to know.
You're an INFP. I would have thought you were an E. Oh,
no. When did you take that?
7/1/23.
Oh, wow.
I took it a while ago. /T.
I don't even remember. About it. I love the Myers-Briggs.
Turbulent. 56%.
I was INFJ /T.
I'm turbulent.
Also turbulent.
INFT. So you are very similar to us. Your only
introverted,
thing is your
intuitive, feeling, prospecting, turbulent. I'm a diplomat, and constant improvement is my strategy. And let's be honest, there are several different ways that we can improve ourselves. If you're like me, you might be drinking several cups of coffee and energy drinks throughout the day to help with your energy and focus. Luckily, I have found a little shot called Magic Mind.
And if you're like me, you hate coffee, but you still need to focus, so I take one shot in the morning in place of caffeine. I like it because it makes me more productive and I stay focused so I can get more done in less time.
I just don't understand how you can hate coffee.
It's gross.
It's made with all natural ingredients, including ashwagandha, which has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety. It also has matcha, which is a natural source of caffeine, and it won't give you the jitters.
Fun fact, it also has lion's mane mushrooms, which are the fluffiest mushrooms out there.
They sound adorable.
So if you're interested in checking out Magic Mind, go to the website at magicmind.com/ghost20 and get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first purchase.
There's a 100% money-back guarantee, no questions asked, and you don't see that much nowadays.
So again, it's magicmind.com/ghost20 and use the code ghost20.
Anyways, I'm going to tell you guys about a story.
I can't wait to hear about it. Smorgy, smorgy, smorg, unsolved. I am loving it already.
June 23rd, 1950.
All right.
A Northwest Orient Airlines flight was scheduled to fly from New York to Seattle. It was departing from New York LaGuardia Airport at 7:31 p.m. with a scheduled stop in Minneapolis, Minnesota on its way to Seattle. The airplane was a Douglas DC-4. Which is an American four-engine propeller-driven airliner developed by the Douglas Aircraft Company.
Okay.
There were different military versions of the aircraft used during World War II, and basically it was a very reliable plane for its time. This was also pre-radar system, and aircrafts would still have to check in with ground crew to relay their location and get directions on where to go. They'd have to check in pretty frequently.
Okay.
The flight had 55 passengers and 3 crew members on board.
Small plane.
Yes. Well, for the 50s, though, this was a decent size. The pilot that night was 35-year-old Captain Robert Lind and First Officer Vern Wolf, who was also 35 years old. The stewardess on flight was 25-year-old Bonnie Ann Feldman. The passengers consisted of 27 women, 22 men, and 6 children. The flight left.
That's a lot of kids on one flight.
I kind of thought so, too. I was like, out of 50?
Can barely tolerate one child on a flight.
This is a long-ass flight, you know? Okay. The flight left the airport and headed west under clear skies and was a pretty uneventful flight as they passed over Cleveland, Ohio on their way to Minneapolis. People have reported it was just like a very mild summer night. Nothing to report. Nothing exciting.
Right.
They cruised at about 6,000 feet.
Oh, I feel like that's low.
Which may seem low.
Yeah, you knew what I was going to say.
It seems low.
It is low.
On a flight, and I remember them telling us our cruising altitude.
Yeah, what was it?
Up to 30,000.
Yes.
Yeah, up to 30,000.
Mile High Club.
And any guesses why?
Not part of that club, but okay.
Same. Just heard of it. It's safe. It's above the clouds.
Okay.
Wait, what was the question?
Any reason why? Any ideas why?
Why we go that high or why they were going
that
low?
Why they were going that low.
The ceiling was low.
Okay.
I was thinking like, I don't know if that was norm for the times.
Well, yes, it was norm for the time because the cabins were not pressurized.
Okay.
So they had to fly much lower than what we're used to, obviously.
So flights took longer.
Yes. So when you were saying 6 kids on a flight, that's why I said, ooh, that's a long flight. Because normally at 30,000 feet, it's a long ass flight, but
yeah,
whew, that's not much faster than driving, I feel like.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is. Okay, anyhow, Captain Lind, he was aware of a storm that was in the area, so he requested a cruising altitude of 4,000 feet above Cleveland.
So the wheels are touching the ground.
Basically.
They're not even above the clouds. They're in the clouds.
Hey, everybody. It is right there.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, not pressurized. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, he requested a cruising altitude of 4,000 feet above Cleveland to avoid turbulence, which was approved by Air Traffic Control, or ATC, approximately 40.
Thank you.
ATC.
That's what I put it in my notes later. I didn't feel like typing it out.
I don't blame you.
Approximately 40 minutes later, ATC. See how much time I saved?
Air Traffic Control.
That's not a good it's not a good acronym. ATIC.
I don't know if that's what they call it. So like I was trying to be cool, but maybe I'm not cool. I don't know.
What's up? My name is Bob. I'm part of the ATC.
Yeah, you know me.
Too much time together.
Give me any 90s reference. I will get it.
I love a good 90s song, obviously. Anyways.
ATC something. I don't even know.
Okay, approximately 40 minutes later, the ATC requested that Flight 2501 lower its cruising altitude even more to 3,500 feet. Oh, wow. Because
you're going to hit some birds.
Or trees. I don't know what's happening.
Some birds. I'm concerned. They're going to be...
All the birds?
They're going to be sucked into the propellers.
They probably were. Just raining dead birds now from the back of the propellers.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay,
it's raining birds.
It's raining birds. Hallelujah, it's raining birds.
Thank you for that.
I like how we just know to burst into the same song.
Obviously, that
perfectly was on cue. Thank you.
I thought we were going to say on tune, and I was like, yeah, we were. Thank you.
Well, let's be fair. I'm never in tune.
Okay. Well, anyhow, they're now flying at
3,500
feet.
Okay.
Because another flight was cruising at 5,000 feet.
Oh my gosh, they're going up
towards them.
Yeah, I got a message.
Over Lake Michigan. And they were struggling to maintain their altitude due to severe turbulence over the lake.
Okay.
So they were like, sorry, you got to drop even lower so you guys don't collide.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
11:13 p.m., Flight 2501 lowered their cruising altitude to 3,500 feet, but they requested an even lower cruising altitude of 2,500 feet.
They're giving me anxiety.
That is reserved for Santa Claus.
Santa's lair of the earth.
We are below the birds. The birds are flying above us.
He's got to make himself seen, but still above.
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
That's how NORAD tracks him.
That is true.
I am concerned. Okay.
All right. Well, this is pre-NORAD, so they were just guessing. They didn't know. This was near Benton Harbor, which is a city on the banks of Lake Michigan.
Okay.
This request was likely due to the severe turbulence that they also were experiencing.
Is turbulence supposed to get better the lower you go?
I don't know, but I don't know that they could go much higher than 6,000 feet. So I think their only option was to go lower. But I feel like the lower they went, the worse that it was.
That's what I would think. I feel like I always experience turbulence before we get to our cruising altitude or when we're descending, the lower we go.
Yeah. So experts have chimed in saying that they were pretty much just right in the heart of the storm and they were hitting winds of about 70 miles an hour.
Oh, geez.
This plane. So... One strange thing about this was that the flight was supposed to be on a path that took them over the town of Glynn, Michigan, but instead they radioed that they were over Benton Harbor, as I mentioned, which was actually 50 miles south. So they were way off course coming from Cleveland up that way. And they still have no idea why that happened. This was kind of right as they were going into the storm. The storm was more over the lake. So they hadn't quite hit it. They were just hitting all the winds. 2 minutes later, ATC.
ATC.
Well, they rejected the request to lower their cruising altitude. Ooh. And that was the last communication with Flight 2501.
How would you feel if you were that ATC member?
And you said, no, you stay where you're at.
You got to stay there.
Hello? You still there?
Yeah.
You mad at me?
Sadly, they were never heard from again. So just before midnight, ATC noticed that the flight was overdue for their communication and radioing into the station. So they tried to make contact with the flight on all frequencies, but it did not work. And the flight had just gone missing. It's believed that around 12:14 a.m., Flight 2501 flew into a massive storm over Lake Michigan and just disappeared, basically, into thin air. Over the next few days, a full-scale search was launched. A U.S. Coast Guard vessel found oil slicks on the lake and aircraft debris floating in the water. More Coast Guard ships arrived and found luggage, seat cushions, a fuel tank float, and human body parts.
Oh, gosh.
A captain in the U.S. Coast Guard said that, quote, tiny pieces keep floating to the surface, quote, unquote, saying that they found hands, ears, a seat armrest, and fragments of upholstery.
I'm sorry, ears and seat fragments?
Correct.
This is Lake Michigan, right?
Correct.
Yeah. The spooky ooky.
Yeah.
Lake.
He said that the largest piece of wreckage was no bigger than your hand. Basically, everything was just completely obliterated.
Yeah.
A week later, portions of two bodies of two women, portions of the bodies of two women were discovered on the coast of South Haven, England, Michigan. June 27th, two divers searched the bottom of the lake for 6 hours, but found no trace of the missing plane. However, it was reported that they basically sunk into the mud at the bottom of the lake and that the visibility was less than a foot. And we've talked about Lake Superior before. And Lake Michigan is enormous. It's basically an ocean.
Yeah.
A landlocked ocean, so therefore a lake. But it's huge. And there's so much turbulence in the water that it's just stirring up the mud all the time and the dirt. So
they wouldn't have been able to see anything.
Exactly. Despite having some of the debris that they found, they still didn't really know what happened to Flight 2501. They thought maybe it just exploded in midair over Lake Michigan. And another theory was that the plane, quote unquote, twisted in the high winds due to the turbulence, which caused a spark and ignited the fuel tanks. And they interviewed a couple of experts and they're like, well, can a plane really crash due to turbulence? And he said, this plane in specific could have because it was so low and it didn't really take a lot to like jolt it around so much that basically an engine caught fire.
Yeah.
A Douglas Aircraft Company investigator speculated that the plane had to turn onto its back and then plunged into the lake upside down.
Oh, gosh.
Eyewitnesses came out later saying that they all saw a flash of light and that the plane was only 2,000 feet off the ground. So it was really low.
How would an eyewitness know exactly how high off the ground that is?
I have no idea.
Tape measure.
Unless they were like, do you see here? And like up in a plane.
That looks like about 2,000 feet. I don't know about you. Yeah, it's
about that high. Of the people that they interviewed, this included a man who was retired Navy. And he said that he had witnessed the plane fly over his home. And minutes later that there was a terrific flash out in the lake. My favorite theory, though, is that the plane went missing in the Great Lakes Triangle. Or the Lake Michigan Triangle. They're the same thing. And this is home to a large number of UFO and USO, unidentified submerged objects.
Oh, I was thinking sinking objects.
sightings and just bizarre happenings all around. I think we may have touched base on this before, and I tried to look back on it. I think it was in one of your episodes about an alien encounter, a UFO encounter.
Well, we covered the Bermuda Triangle.
In Wisconsin, maybe.
Okay.
It's sounding familiar. So I didn't want to like go too much into it, but just as a reminder, it's a section between Manitowoc, Wisconsin, Ludington, Michigan, and Benton Harbor, Michigan. So it does make a triangle on a map over the lake. There have been unexplained phenomena dating all the way back to the 17th century, which started when a ship disappeared. This was a really well-renowned ship. In 1860, there was a shipwreck that claimed the lives of 300 people. And it's thought basically to be a vortex to prehistoric structure under the lake that is sometimes referred to as the North American Stonehenge.
Well, that's fun.
At that point, in 1950, when this happened, it was the largest loss of human life in a commercial aviation accident. And the Michigan Shipwreck Research Association has conducted an annual search for Flight 2501 since 2004 with no luck.
Oh,
like they're still looking in the lake.
They're still looking. They've never found it. However, they have found about a dozen shipwrecks. So that's a bonus.
I'm sure.
And it remains the only missing U.S. aircraft in aviation history. So just a random fact. Over the years, I think they realized it in 2004 and 2015. They found two mass graves that have been linked to the victims of the plane crash, just with body parts in them.
Wow.
They just happened to come across them in cemeteries. Nobody asked permission. Nobody claimed it.
Like actual cemeteries?
It's in a cemetery.
Huh.
One is in St. Joseph and one is in South Haven.
St. Joseph, Missouri.
No, Michigan. Claire's Mud. No, it is in Michigan.
Weird. I wonder how they got there.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Also, another interesting fact. Remember I said that these body parts were just like washing up on
the shore.
Yes. Yeah. They closed down this very popular shore for like 4 days and then opened it for the holiday weekend. So
kids can find body parts.
You could have been there and just found a foot. Floating up to shore.
Let us know if you find a body part, kid.
Right.
Just cross your fingers and hope for the best that nothing else washes up ashore.
Did you find an ear? Good job. You found an ear.
Ew.
What if you saw like a face? That would be really creepy.
I would hate it. Yeah. No, thank you.
That's all. That's my unsolved spooky ooky story.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What do you think happened?
I don't know. They exploded over the ocean.
Why do you think they exploded?
The ocean lake.
The ocean lake. Yeah, it is basically.
The ocean lake. I don't know. I was going, so they're not pressurized. So that makes me wonder how they could explode, you know?
I mean, they definitely have fuel tanks. So there's that.
Yeah.
It's just interesting because it's called a lake and you feel like you should be able to find an entire plane. Obviously, this one exploded, but it's not the only one that's been missing and never found. There.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the only large thing. There's been shipwrecks, tons of them there. But they're all, or most of them, are in this little area.
I really just want to go to the Great Lakes now and see how big they are.
Mm-hmm.
I hear they're great.
They're wonderful.
I beg to differ. You should watch some videos of them.
Like,
truthfully, they are humongous.
Yeah, I just can't wrap my head around like a lake that's being as big as the ocean.
You can't see others. Like usually when you think lake, you can see the other side. There's no way. It's an ocean, basically.
All right. Well, thanks for your unsolved.
Downer. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I enjoyed it. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in this week, guys, to our smorgasbord episode. You can always find us at thetipsyghost.com with our socials linked from there or send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating or a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it really does help.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. We will catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.